You're listening to the Voice of Russia in London with me, Juliet Spare. Million people are affected by eating disorders in the UK, and a new report says hundreds of websites are encouraging extreme dieting, championing thinspiration, and promoting the eating disorder anorexia nervosa. These sites are known as pro-ana websites, promoting users and followers to starve for perfection. But it's not just the sinister hosting of these websites which are a danger, but the sinister nature of some people looking at the images on the websites in search of skinny porn. Joining me to discuss pro-ana websites is Dr. Emma Bond, author of the report Virtually Anorexic, Where's the Harm? Natasha Devon from Body Gossip, human behaviour specialist Dominic Knight, Catherine Moran, co-director of the Only Way Is Up Foundation, and Dr. Andrew McCauley, consultant psychiatrist at the Cardinal Clinic in Windsor. I'm going to first come to Dr. Emma Bond, who's the author of this study. Can you explain to us what is pro-ana?
Pro-anorexia is a phenomenon that is for people with eating disorders but who are not ready to go into recovery. So people who are pro-ana are very much seeking to maintain their illness. We knew from previous research, for example, the very extensive research that's been done through the London School of Economics and the EU Kids Online research, and they interviewed over 25,000 young people across Europe and found that increasingly young people were going to pro-anorexia or pro-self-harm and pro-suicide sites. What we didn't know was why people went there. What was the attraction for them initially? What they were seeing when they went there? How did they, why did they then revisit? And very, very little has been done actually looking at the content of these sites. Quite often the media has reported about pro-anorexia websites in a quite a sort of sensationalised way. And we wanted to undertake a comprehensive study to actually consider what was there, what they were saying, and the sort of things that, were there actually on the sites.
So these sites are a interim site, as it were, for people who don't want to, who haven't yet chosen or don't know that they want to choose to recover from their eating disorder. And these websites promote the goal to sustain thinness or become thinner.
Yes, there's many different types of sites, and it's very important to remember that not all pro-anorexia websites are the same in nature nor in content. Also, it's not just about anorexia. Quite often they're actually pro-eating disorder and the different types of eating disorder. What we know from BEAT is that quite often people with an eating disorder will be visiting the pro-eating disorder websites and also simultaneously actually visiting the pro-recovery ones. There's a lot of ambiguity around the illness itself, and quite often they will move in and out of wanting to go into recovery and then wanting to seek to maintain the illness.
Dominic Knight, you're a human behaviour specialist. Yes. Then what would your take on this pro-ana site, this sort of interim ambiguity of pro-recovery, pro-ana, and the reason that so many people go to them?
Well, pretty much everyone with an eating disorder is literally in that middle line where, you know, ultimately if you quiz anyone on it, they would never wish that upon anyone, and they'd ultimately want to get into a position where they're free of the eating disorder. So it's kind of like an interim between the two. But any degree of sensationalising it or promoting it is something which is very internecine and very destructive, because the people who are entering these sites are already not in the best frame of mind anyway, and are very easily influenced by what they see on there.
Now, Natasha, could you talk to us about your charity campaign, Body Gossip?
Yeah, what we do at Body Gossip is we invite every single person in the UK to send us a thought, an opinion or a story that relates to body image in some way to our website. That's all done anonymously and behind the scenes. And then we receive thousands of stories from people from all over the UK, but we pick some of them to be performed by a celebrity cast. And also we've just published a book which has got 300 of these stories in an anthology. And we do receive some stories from people which are actively promoting eating disorders, and obviously we We don't choose those to be performed. The stories that we pick, we don't censor anyone, and we do want the stories to reflect real people's experiences. But we do tend to pick ones which have arrived at a point of acceptance, that say, you know, that this is my body and it's the only one I've got, and I want to look after it and I want to respect it, because ultimately that's the message of our campaign. At Body Gossip, we understand this issue in a slightly broader way, because we've kind of created a pro-anorexia environment within some aspects of the media and the internet. And you don't have to be on a specific pro-eating disorder website in order to be a victim of that.
Catherine, I'd like to come to you now. If you could first tell us about how you arrived at setting up your foundation called The Only Way Is Up.
The foundation came about because it's just becoming more and more aware of how common eating disorders are becoming nowadays, and it got to a stage where us as the three directors just thought, you know, you can't moan about things unless you're prepared to stand up and do something about them yourself.
You yourself have suffered personally, which is probably why you sort of chose to take this path.
Yes, and not only myself, but the other three directors in the foundation, we've all been through it. You know, you can study these sort of things, but I think also a lot of the time the angle that is missed out is the personal one of the people who have been through it and have shared the same experiences and can prove that you can come out the other side. I personally would never have imagined 10, 15 years ago that I had been able to lead the life that I have. That's something that at the time when you're in the midst of anorexia or an eating disorder, a normal life has just seemed so unattainable. So if anything, this foundation, we just want to prove to people, you know, that they can do it too, that it very much is a reality. I didn't think I'd ever be able to leave anorexia behind. I didn't think there would be any waking moment of my life that didn't involve a thought about anorexia, and it absolutely is. It's so achievable.
Can I just ask you now, Catherine, what you think of these pro-anorexia or the pro-ana movement that's emerging online?
I just think these websites are so dangerous. I don't think that there's anything helpful in them. I realise there's the whole freedom of speech thing, but when you're promoting how others can harm themselves, I just don't see how there's anything positive that comes out of that.
Dr. Andrew McCauley, I'd like to come to you now to offer us a consultant psychiatrist perspective on the dangers of the pro-ana websites.
Anorexia nervosa is a denial of normal body weight and all that it represents. So these sites are really trying to recruit other people into their point of view to say that it's okay to be 35 kilograms or less. Anorexia nervosa is an incredibly difficult condition to treat. And if you go up to someone and say, look, you've got anorexia nervosa, you've got to put on weight, you know, we're going to get anywhere. And these sites are really just people at the denial stage of their illness. And it is very worrying because they're recruiting other people into their point of view to support their own sort of mental mechanisms.
I've only ever really thought about anorexia as anorexia. I'd not heard of anorexia nervosa.
Well, anorexia is really just saying that people don't have much interest in eating. Anorexia nervosa, the terms are often used interchangeably. Many people feel anorexic, for example, if they have a serious illness. Anorexia nervosa is a serious mental illness where people have a denial of the normal body weight, and if you talk to people who are very thin, they, you know, they just won't see it, there's anything wrong. If you and I lose weight, we'll pretty quickly go and try and find an explanation for it. The key thing is that if you have anorexia nervosa, it's a condition that suits you. You actually like being so thin, and the reason actually is not immediately obvious. The reason is that when you weigh so little, you switch off emotionally. So instead of being an adult, you now begin to think like a 10 or 11-year-old, and so you don't have any emotions. And that's something which is not easy for people necessarily to understand. So that's the maintaining factor. So once you become anorexia, you no longer have the problem that you couldn't confront.
And it's sort of staying in this no man's land of recovery or acceptance or denial, and the recruitment of other people into this same state that to me sounds the most worrying.
It is very worrying because what motivates it is that the person who has anorexia nervosa, the more people that they can recruit to their point of view, the more it supports their perception of the world that they're okay and everyone else that's wrong.
You're listening to The Voice of Russia in London with me, Juliet Spare. We're talking about the rise and danger of pro-anorexia websites. I'm joined by Dr. Emma Bond, author of the report Virtually Anorexic, Where's the Harm? Natasha Devon from Body Gossip, human behaviour specialist Dominic Knight, Catherine Moran, co-director of the Only Way Is Up Foundation, and Andrew McCauley, consultant psychiatrist at the Cardinal Clinic in Windsor. Emma, I'd like to come back to you now, really, just to talk more about what you found with your research. Also, I want to know about this recruitment, this emergence of the cult, can I say that?
Yes, I mean, I think one of the things you have to remember, people with an eating disorder feel very isolated. They're very lonely. Quite often they can feel quite stigmatised and very misunderstood by their family and friends. And going to a pro-anorexia website, they are meeting people who think the same way quite often as they do. So they find acceptance. They also find support, emotional support, and friendship for each other. And the content of the sites is around ultra-thinness. It is around extreme dieting. Quite often they're very competitive. And sometimes the people that use them will start competing with each other around weight loss. They will blog or they will post about what they are eating or not eating, and they will then try and follow each other in order to emotionally support each other and also provide guidance to each other in terms of tips and tricks for coping with hunger, for hiding the disease from their family, from their friends, and also from medical practitioners as well. But one of the things that I really found quite striking about the sites, yes, I did come across some very inappropriate, quite harmful content. But a lot of the sites, this is what I say, that they're not all the same. A lot of them, there is a real a sort of feeling of support there. The people that use them do declare their love for each other. They will support each other in dieting. And so that's, they're a very sort of mixed sort of function that these sites actually perform. But one of the overwhelming ones is actually for support and for nurturing each other in maintaining their illness.
This nurturing one another to maintain an illness. Can you talk about that then, Dominic, in that why there's a trend for this maintenance
because
online?
Ultimately, birds of the feather flock together, right? So people, when they're in a group of other individuals suffering from a similar situation, start to gravitate towards that. That is very dangerous because though there's the nurturing there, there's still the encouragement of the problem. Ultimately, what we want to do is steer these things away, and we want to create something, some type of body of girls that have overcome eating disorders, whether it's anorexia, anorexia nervosa, or bulimia, and show that the grass is greener on the other side. Having worked with dozens of young girls myself who have been anorexic, suffering from anorexia nervosa, I can clearly say anyone can overcome it, right? Under the right type of guidance and the right type of encouragement, you can pull them out of that situation. In fact, I worked with a case a couple of years ago of a young girl who suffered from anorexia nervosa from the age of 9 to 22, who now is a plus-size model, which can show a total shift in perception. Total shift of perception, it's possible. So it's really about nurturing and pushing that belief out there that life can be much better. And things can move forward.
Yeah, I think that Dominic picks up on a really important point there, because what I have noticed from sort of seeing things that are written on websites is this competitive nature amongst people who have recovered as well. We need to change the conversation. The media is incredibly sensationalist about eating disorders. How thin were you? How little did you eat? You know, I want to see a picture of you in your underwear during the time when you were the thinnest, rather than focusing on the fact that full recovery is possible and you can go on to be free of the illness and lead an incredibly fulfilling life. And what I've noticed is that people who are in recovery, it's that kind of, well, I almost died, you know, I had it worse than you kind of mentality that they have. And it's not a competition, you know, and so we need to create a more supportive environment for people who actually do want to get better. And I think that's a really important point that you said there.
But it's this competitive nature of dieting Is that in any way positive? Does that help people diet or lose weight?
From what I could see from my research, that the risk really varies. So if people are, as Dominic said, they're very vulnerable, if they have an eating disorder, you know, they've got a very serious mental illness. So their vulnerability is very different from me visiting them, for example, because I don't have an eating disorder. Also, the frequency of visits is quite significant, and the type of sites that they're visiting. If they are visiting, quite often I would see the same visitors to sites time and time again. They clearly had their favourites. Now, if they were visiting the more extreme ones, the behaviours that you and I would judge to be very harsh dieting, for example, these behaviours actually become normalised. And the very thin body image that is portrayed on these sites actually to people using them actually, again, becomes normalised. You know, we had this debate in the media, even in fashion magazines, using, you know, the very thin size zero models. And we were we becoming normalised to this as a society? And there was, you know, there's been a lot of controversy around that. For the people that are using these sites, living on very, very low number of calories, quite extreme diets, becomes normal behaviour to them. And anything outside of that that we would see healthy and pro-recovery, to them then becomes quite threatening, because as they use the sites more and more and the anorexia becomes more established, it actually becomes part of them. It is part of their self-identity. That to take that away from them actually for them feels very threatening. And that's what's important to remember with these sites as well, that, you know, their perception, people that have got an eating disorder are very vulnerable, and their perception of what is normal and desired is very different to somebody else.
Dr. Andrew McCauley, I just wondered what your response would be then to Dr. Bond's research and how harmful these websites are and what advice you'd have.
I think this research is very timely. It's an important piece of research because it highlights the dangers of innovative use of social media, really. I think my advice would be, really to the families, is to recognise that someone with anorexia has got a serious mental illness that is difficult to treat. The outcome from anorexia nervosa is sinister. It is not a trivial condition. It's not to do with dieting. It's to do with underlying psychological problems. And you can't make things worse. So if you have a relative or son or daughter with anorexia, try to open your dialogue with them. It's a barometer that things are not right in their life. And you won't make it worse by talking to them and saying, why are you looking at these websites? These are abnormal.
That sort of agrees with Dr. Bond, taking the normality away from the perceived normality of these websites, which is, I suppose, what you're really trying to champion, Natasha.
It's absolutely critical that people who look at these websites recognise that this is abnormal. This is highly abnormal. These people are not normal. And so if you have a relative who is constantly looking at these websites, tell them that these people do not look normal. Now, I need to warn you that if someone has anorexia, they will not thank you for pointing this out to them. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't.
Natasha.
Yeah, I was going to say, we also, I think, need to look at where the genesis of this problem is. I saw a really interesting talk by Dr. Susie Orbach at Parliament recently, in which she said when she first started practicing as a psychiatrist 30 years ago, things like cutting out food groups, that would have been classed as an eating disorder. Now that's entirely normalised. There are millions of people throughout the world who are on the Atkins diet, for example. And not only are they normalised, but they're actually advocated in some lifestyle and fashion magazines. So I think that we need to look at, it is important, the people that we deify, you know, the celebrities that we think they have the ideal body type and the kinds of behaviours that we are advocating in terms of dieting and lifestyle. I think that the problem can start there and then just becomes more and more extreme. And people do talk about eating disorders being a mental illness, and people get very cross when you try and blame the media and the internet because they think that trivialises it. However, I don't think that as many people people would have an eating disorder if we didn't live in a society that told you that if you looked different, your life would be better. And that's the message of a lot of these magazines, websites, TV programs and the internet.
It's very interesting you use the word deify, because I read in your research report that it's this praying to the goddess of thinness and this cult. And I thought, is this that dissimilar to praying to Aphrodite in ancient Greece, that you would pray for beauty, and this deification and cult of thinness which has become on these pro-anna sites?
A lot of the sites as well. You have to remember, whilst there is quite harmful content on them, they actually look very beautiful. Quite often they are very attractive. People write poems to Anna. They are a creed. There are commandments to be followed. Some of the administrators of the site, some of the people that have set them up, almost set themselves up in a goddess-like way, the very fairy-like. I've also seen a sort of quite a religious type of following, with people posting that they've been home for Christmas, for example, which is a very, very difficult time for people with an eating disorder. And as a result, they talk about wanting to gain control again, and they detail what they're going to do in terms of their diet. And then within 2 hours, I watched, and one particular person who actually was posting from America had got over 36, 37 followers saying, oh, we're going to do that too. So you had one person taking this extreme behaviour line, if you like, to control their diet. And very, very quickly after they posted, there were lots of others. Because what's important to remember about these sites is they're 24/7, they're global. So if you are lonely and feeling isolated at 2 o'clock in the morning in the UK, you can go online, and people in America, people in Australia are there ready to chat to you, support you, offer you more dieting tips. So they're very beautiful sites quite often, but also they're very dynamic, they're very lively. It's quite easy to understand how they are actually quite attractive to people who feel very misunderstood in their everyday lives.
You're listening to The Voice of Russia in London, where we're discussing pro-Anna websites. I'm joined by Dr. Emma Bond, Natasha Devon, Dominic Knight, Catherine Moran, and Dr. Andrew McCauley. I'd like to thank all my guests, Dr. Emma Bond, Natasha Devon, Dominic Knight, Catherine Moran, and Dr. Andrew McCauley. Catherine, what would your advice be as someone who's gone through this and never thought that you would A, be anorexic, B, come through it, and have set up a foundation, when you hear this sinister cult that is online that seems to manifest an illness?
The answer to that is a lot bigger than, you know, parents, albeit if parents are aware or carers are aware that kids that they're looking after, or anybody indeed are on these sort of sites. I totally agree that the subject has to be approached, and you know, you can't just stick your head in the sand and hope that it goes away. But at the same time, I think there has to be a responsibility with the people of the hosts of these sites, and there has to be measures put in place. There's certain social networkings that if they're aware of these, they will take them down. And I think there has to be more of that, because there's so much deception involved in anorexia that a lot of parents and carers will have no idea that people suffering from these, or maybe people who haven't yet been diagnosed, are actually on these sites. So, you know, if they don't know that it's happening, then they can't talk to them about it. So really, there has to be a responsibility with the people that are hosting these sort of websites and blogs, etc.
What recommendations or warnings did your report suggest?
Because of the globalised international nature of the internet, it's very difficult to police. But we do know that some ISPs have started to close down sites that do have either harmful or illegal content. We also know there were some studies done in Holland that found that warnings on the outside of these websites are actually quite effective, especially for first-time visits. So having a warning on the outside saying that content may be triggering for people with an eating disorder, or that the content is really only appropriate for an adult, somebody over 18, can be effective for sort of ameliorating some of the use. I think what is very important is that we develop a better culture at an early age in terms of education around critical media literacy, encouraging young people to look quite critically at what they see online, whether it is a body image, whether it is getting information, or whether it's something that's written about Shakespeare. How do you know it's true? And really encouraging them to look quite critically at what they're seeing, so they begin to look at things with a very questioning mind rather than taking it as truth. And the other thing I think is really important is that we provide better support for people with an eating disorder. So many people have said that one of the reasons why they went to this site was because nothing else was available to them. You know, it takes a long time sometimes to get a referral through to your doctor because you feel, or for parents to take somebody. And that's very, very problematic. And I think we need to see the context, this in a wider context, of we need better support for people with eating disorders, so that the power, if you like, or the attraction of these sites is ameliorated because they feel more understood generally.
Probably what we're doing at Body Gossip is the exact opposite of what we've been talking about with these pro-anorexia websites. We're trying to create a supportive environment for people who feel positively about their bodies and for people who want to overcome any kind of... I mean, we're not an eating disorder campaign, we're a body image campaign. So we don't deal exclusively with eating disorders, but people struggle with a lot of things. And what we're trying to do is broaden our understanding of what's normal, what's acceptable and what's attractive, and encourage a spectrum of beauty so that... Therefore, being a size 18 doesn't become a fate worse than death. It becomes something that you can say, you know, this is my unique brand of beauty that's mine and no one else's. We need to start looking at mental health and emotional health and focusing on that as the root problem, changing the conversation, stop focusing on extremes in the media and allow everyone their voice. And that's exactly what we're trying to do with Body Gossip. And I'd also like to say that eating disorders are a small corner of a much bigger problem. And that is the problem of low self-esteem. And we teach self-esteem classes in schools and colleges throughout the UK to try and educate young people about exactly the kind of things we've been talking about today.
And it would be the other dangers on the fact that it's not just pro-ANA users using the site, that it's actually being looked at by others. And there's a certain sexualization of these images.
Yes, I mean, that sort of compounds the risk, if you like, of using the sites. There's a lot of evidence of cyberbullying on the sites, but also there's a lot of evidence that, especially for some of the young girls that are using the sites, they're putting up images of themselves in states of undress. Quite often these images are actually quite sexualized, and they're then actually being targeted for what's known as skinny porn, either by pornography agencies or by people actually wanting to groom them for sexual pleasure. And quite often that is compounding the risk of them using the sites, and they really need to think very carefully before they post images of themselves up there as to who actually could be viewing these. Many of the sites are not password protected, and, you know, people are going on there and actually looking at some of these images, not for inspiration for weight loss, but actually for sexual gratification.
The sinister nature of these websites has also got this second level, that it's not just those using it or the hosts that are promoting the pro-ANA site, but it's the people viewing it for other, more sinister purposes.
Yes, there's different levels of risk in relationship to these sites. One of them is the very sexualized nature of them, and the other issues are actually to do with the fact that a lot of the pro-anorexia sites are also linked to pro-self-harm and even pro-suicide as well. So if you look, I mean, the risks really do compound themselves in terms of using these sites.
I'd like to thank all my guests, Dr. Emma Bond, author of the report Virtually Anorexic, Where's the Harm?, Natasha Devon from Body Gossip, Human Behaviour Specialist Dominic Knight, Catherine Moran, Co-Director of the Only Way Is Up Foundation, and Dr. Andrew McCauley, Consultant Psychiatrist at the Cardinal Clinic in Windsor.